Welcome to Harvest World Assembly, where the word comes like fresh bread from the ovens of heaven. And as you listen to God's servants, keep these words as they purify you in this journey of destiny.
Hallelujah. Psalm chapter 1. I remember sometime earlier this year, there was a message that I preached on the blessedness of God. And I remember when I was closing that service, I said there was a second part to it that we couldn't go into. And the Lord is bringing us there this morning. I don't need to do a recap of that message. It was preached sometime in this church in January. You go to the website and listen again and again. You know, I started something recently, going back to the website and listening to pastors' messages, and it's just been a blessing. Psalms chapter 1 and verse 1. Blessed is a man who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. And we spoke about the counsel of the godly being a seed that germinates when he finds a ground that it can thrive on. Who does not stand in the way of sinners, who does not sit where the scornful sit. And the verse 2. I remember that day we started and stopped on verse 1, right? Hallelujah. Verse 2. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And on its law does he meditate day and night. So this Psalm 1 has the don'ts and the do's. Spoke about what you should not do as a blessed man, and spoke about what you should do. And he says his delight is in the law of the Lord. And I know that most of the time when we read this passage, by default we just believe, or we've just concluded that his law here speaks only of his instructions to us, right? His delight is in the law of the Lord. Hallelujah. They are blessed. And we just by default believe that his law here speaks strictly of his instructions. And yes, you're correct. His delight, he finds joy, he finds happiness, he finds satisfaction, gratification in the law of the Lord. And that was where Pastor started this morning. Now, the law of the Lord, from another perspective, is his expectations, or are his expectations of us. So Pastor talked about the monarchical system. He talked about the kingdom of the United Kingdom. Let's even talk about Nigeria. The law in Nigeria says you should not be corrupt. Even our president told a particular government, if you deal with us and anybody asks you for bribe, report them, right? That is the law of the land. That is an expectation of the land. As law-abiding citizens, you are expected to be corrupt-free. Now, the law of the kingdom of God is not only just about the instructions he gives us. It extends to his expectations of us. His expectations are not unconnected to his purpose, to his agenda. And Pastor delved into that looking at Genesis chapter 1 verse 26. How that God said, let us make man in our own image. How that God clearly specified what his agenda for us is. That we can dominate. Let's make man in our image so that our influence can be brought on the earth. So that we can take over the helms of affairs. So that we can dominate the earth. So that we can dominate over every system of the earth. So God's expectation for us is to walk in alignment with that kingdom agenda. Is to walk in alignment with his agenda for us. His singular agenda is to take over the world. And that is why he has brought us here. And in time memorial, God has always planted man at strategic points. Joseph, the Lord planted Daniel, the Lord planted David, the Lord planted Deborah, the Lord planted Ruth. God had always planted men to be able to... Is there something? God has always planted men to be able to activate and actualize this agenda on the earth. So we are looking at his delight in his law, in the light of his expectations of us as children who belong to this kingdom. Hallelujah. Your delight is a posture. Your delight in the law is how you respond to his law. It's how you respond to these expectations of the kingdom. It's how you respond to everything, to his agenda of the kingdom. Bible records in Revelation chapter 11, it said when the seventh angel blew the trumpet, it was because the kingdom of this world has now become the kingdom of our God. Which means that that agenda, whether we like it or not, now God is calling us to be part of it, but whether you become part of it or not, that agenda will actually come to reality. Because the kingdom of this world has now become the kingdom of our God and of his Christ. That is the sole agenda, and that is the same thing the devil has been fighting. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we are looking at delight in his law here in the from the perspective of us being delighted in his agenda, us being delighted in his expectations of us as kingdom children, us being delighted in his purpose here on earth. God's agenda is clear. He has never hidden it. The book of Psalm, if you go through the book of Psalm in various chapters, you see how that King David has been singing and shouting that the Lord will reign forever. That the Lord will reign forever and ever. That the Lord will fill the earth. Because he understands that agenda. Now that agenda may look so big to us, but there is a path that God has carved out for every one of us. Hallelujah. I'm sure when the devil came to the garden and deceived Adam and Eve, he thought it was all. He thought he had won the battle. He thought it was over for us. When Adam fell, he thought, oh no, it's done. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Let's just quickly read. 1 Corinthians 15 verse 22. Shall I open my Bible? Shall I be patient? 1 Corinthians 15. For as in Adam all died, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. Go to the next verse. But each one in his own order. Christ, the first fruits. After those who are Christ, at his coming. So after Adam fell, God brought out in another card. The devil thought that Adam was God's final card. So he went into the garden and did what he knows how to do best. He went into the garden and deceived Eve and, you know, brought them down. Pastor elaborated on this a few weeks ago. And I'm sure from some brothers, they're probably afraid to get married. Don't worry, just carry your own cross. Hallelujah. So the devil thought he had it all after Adam fell. But God had other cards. And God has been bringing out cards. And I tell you that seated here, you are one of his cards. You are one of the cards that he has brought out again. You are on the table. You are a card that he has placed on the table. He has bet on you. He has said that this card will not fail. Because when the devil takes out men, he thinks that is the end. He thinks that he has the final say. But God is saying, look, just as I brought out the card, Jesus Christ, I still have so many heirs here. That's why he said there's an order. God has an order of bringing out the cards. Don't worry. Oh, you think you are not doing it now, but don't worry. There's an order. God is flashing the cards. He's flashing the cards. If you play poker a lot, you know that you don't put all your cards on the table at once. So you tell yourself, I am one card ready or waiting to happen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And just, you know, when Adam fell and the devil thought it was all, then God brought out the card, Jesus. And the prophecy upon Jesus in the book of Isaiah chapter 9, it says that the kingdom will be upon his shoulders. He was still to take over this kingdom. And you know that, okay, so let me quickly just say this. Bible says in the book of Luke chapter 1, it says that the Lord will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And there shall be no end to his kingdom. Now when Jesus came, the devil saw another card that God had flashed, right? I hope you know that the devil does not know God's plans for you. The devil does not have that information. He's not privy to that information. Because the Bible tells us that you can only know the mind of God through the Spirit of God. And the devil does not have the Spirit of God. So you and I are privileged because I can share the mind of God because I have the Spirit of God. So I understand, I can tell what is happening in God's mind. I can tell what God's plans for me are. But the devil does not know. So guess what? The devil begins to play the hide and seek role. The devil begins to play the hide and seek role. So when Jesus was led into the wilderness, the devil went to him and the devil began to tempt him. It's like you have the one they've sent to come and deliver the world. Okay, you know what? You don't even need to live long to deliver the world. Just bow to me now, I will give you the world. Bow to me now, I will give you the kingdom. If you look at the temptations in the book of Luke chapter 4, it said, bow to me now. Let me just give you the kingdom. Let me give you the shortcut. You don't need to live so much to get the kingdom. And Jesus overcame that temptation. And the devil went further. The devil went further again, said, look, I can give you everything that is here. Just jump down. You don't need to wait. You don't need to wait to be put on the cross of Calvary. Just jump down and die. It's not to die. Let's even see if you can die and rise again. Let me tell you, no matter how accurate the devil seems to be, he doesn't have the details. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So the agenda of God on earth is for him to reign. It's for him to dominate every system. Dominate. Be fruitful. Be multiplied. Spread. And that is why one of his agenda is also for marriage. Because then we replenish also physically. We replenish in influence, we replenish in number. So when, and the pastor was saying this morning, in this kingdom as a believer, you marry a believer. Because we have an agenda. This is not guesswork. There's a program behind everything that we do. If one of us breaks the rank, then we become the weak link to our kingdom agenda. The Lord reigns. Over the affairs of the heart, the Lord reigns. The Lord reigns. The Lord reigns. The Lord reigns. Hallelujah. That is his agenda for us. That is the agenda. That is the only reason we are here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So your delight is a posture. Is a posture that shows that you are aligned with the agenda, that you are excited about the agenda of God. It shows that you are keen on it. It shows that you are interested. It shows that you are enthusiastic about this agenda. When you delight in the law of the kingdom, when you delight in his expectations for us, when you delight in the culture of the kingdom, when you delight in everything, every process that the Lord has put in place in the kingdom, it shows that you are not a bastard. It shows that you are a son of the land. Hallelujah. And that is where our flourishing hides. If you belong to this kingdom, your flourishing is tied into this kingdom, and it is tied in how well you embrace the culture of this kingdom. Any child from the queen or the king that wakes up one morning and says, I am tired of being a member of this family, I walk away. The person is not only walking away from the house that he lives in. The person is walking away from... Do you know what it means? If I have... Just give me passport of Poland. I don't want to go to... Hallelujah. Hallelujah. May we not walk away from our inheritance. So every gift that the Lord deposits in us, every investment of the kingdom in us, is not for our own personal gain. It is for the kingdom. It is for the kingdom. The Lord will not place us here just to operate. So if you feel you're already established, please stop looking at the short-term benefits. God did not plant us here just to operate. He planted us here to take over. Yes, sir. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, there's this popular story of a professor Orr, who took his students on a tour. A professor of theology. He took his students on a tour, and one of the places he took them to was the former house of evangelist John Wesley. And they got there, he showed them the living room, he showed them the kitchen, then he took them to his room, showed them the room. And in the room, they saw two holes that looked more like someone's knees had carved that particular patch on the floor. And he told them, he said, this is where John Wesley would kneel every morning by his bed to pray. And what was his prayer? Lord, give me the heart. Lord, just reign, take over. He was one of the evangelists that brought great revival into the world. And then he showed the students and they all went around. And then they went back to the bus to continue. And then he counted the students at the bus and saw that one person was missing. So he just felt, oh, somebody must have been curious going into other rooms. He went back to the house to check. He checked the lower ground, lower floor. The person was in there. He went upstairs and he saw this student. He had fit his knees into the same exact spot where John Wesley would kneel every day to pray. And he was just saying, Lord, do it again through me.
Wow.
Lord, do it again through me. I want to run this agenda. Let my life count for you. And then he tapped the person and said, Billy, let's go. And that was Billy Graham. Guess what? As at the time Billy Graham died, it was recorded that he had won 210 million souls. This was a man, Billy Graham, whose influence went beyond the shores of America. At a point, he had the government in his palms. Because this was a man who was delighted in kingdom agenda. I know you love God, but do you love the work he's doing here? Do you love God so much that you love his purpose here on earth? And look, it's not so much of a big deal if we can just start by opening up our hearts to him. Billy Graham just said, Lord, do it again. Do it again through me. Have you ever seen anybody come to you to say, Auntie, do you have clothes to wash? I can wash it for you free of charge. And you don't. So when he said that prayer, God was already looking for men. God has cards, but he's not even sure if I put this one. His card. But the card that pops up.
Preach, man. Preach.
Lord, do it again to me.
I'm available.
Light me, Lord. Light me, Lord, like a candle. Light me, Lord, like menorah. Light me, Lord, like a candle.
Light me, Lord.
So we had men in time past who opened up their hearts to God. God told Abraham, God said, come Abraham, I want to take you on a journey. In this journey, you will be blessed above all nations. Don't worry about the blessing. Sometimes we focus too much on the blessing that we miss out on his purpose. Any blessing the Lord gives you is rooted in his purpose for you. You want to flourish? His flourishing is inside his purpose. God told Moses, you will lead my people. God told Joseph. God has used men and women in time past. And God is still in the business of using men.
Hallelujah.
God is still in the business of distributing the seven mountains of influence amongst his children and saying, take, and reign here. As you reign here, because you are in my image, as you reign here, it is me people see. So take and establish judgment here. Take and dominate this ground. Hallelujah. Now, whatever ground the Lord has given you, just take it. You work in a government parastatal. You think it's not until you become the president before you take over government. It is not until you become Dangote before you take over the business world. Wherever space you find yourself, take it. That's the entrepreneurship spirit. You own it. You are in that secretariat where you work. Own it. Let the influence of God be seen. Let the power of God be seen. Let people see you and know the right way to do things. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I know many a times we've received prophecies upon prophecies. Oh, the Lord has told you, he will establish you. I will make you great. I will do this, I will do that. And sometimes you're just wondering, there's a gap between what I've heard and what I'm seeing. There's a gap between the vision I've heard and what I see. Now, may I let you know that the vision usually is just the part that most of the time is the part that you can really relate with. It's the part that can stir up your excitement. So when God showed Joseph, what God showed Joseph was that his brothers will bow to him, right? That was the part that aroused Joseph's excitement. But that was not all about the assignment. God didn't tell Joseph you will live in prison. God didn't tell Joseph you will be bound. God didn't tell Joseph you will be sold for one kobo. God just showed him how that in the long run, see, this is the flourishing that comes with these assignments. So many a times we receive the prophecies, and you know, sometimes when I look at how Pastor explains the baptism of Jesus, Luke chapter 3, how Pastor explains the baptism of Jesus. Now, before I go into Luke chapter 3, may I also quickly say that before the Lord assigns a mountain to you, now, let's also note that these mountains are assigned in portions. So you don't necessarily have to wait until you gain the entire mountain. There's a portion that the Lord has assigned unto you. Now, before the Lord assigns or entrusts you with this mountain, there are certain things the Lord strips you of. Everything that will pull you down, every weight, every unnecessary baggage that will pull you down from that mountain, the Lord takes his time to strip you. So when the Lord says, oh, I will bless you, you will be a kingdom financier, the first thing the Lord will do is start stripping you of greed. The Lord will strip you of selfishness. The Lord will strip you of greed, of everything that makes you feel, like Pastor was saying, when you are a kingdom financier, your mind goes beyond 10% tight. Because you know that everything you have and you have belongs to God. It belongs to the kingdom. God can wake you up at any time and tell you, empty your account. It doesn't mean that you have not paid tithe. Kingdom, so I know that many of us like to pray that prayer, Lord, make me a kingdom financier. Kingdom financing is not just being faithful to your tithe. It is funding this same agenda. It is funding this same agenda. And God will not start with you after you have started earning your millions. It starts with you from where you are. So the Lord begins to strip you of greed. The Lord begins to strip you of selfishness. When God was going to make Joseph a ruler in Egypt, one of the things God had to strip Joseph was unforgiveness. Do you know how many people Joseph had to forgive before he now eventually saw his brothers who sold him? God strips you so much that you get to a point where you know that you didn't get here because you are smart. You become too weak. It takes out self from you that you become too weak. You can't even boast. You can't even be proud. That's how much God strips us of. Hallelujah. Now, Pastor said something when he closed first service. He said, if you experience dryness where you're operating, the first question you should ask is, Lord, did you send me here? So I'm just going to start from there. Okay, I already started since, right? Okay, so now after you might have answered that question, because sometimes, like I said, the prophecy is this beautiful and glorious, but you are here and you are thinking, my brothers have still not bowed to me. Is it inside this prison that my brothers will bow to me? I'm a slave in Potiphar's house. My brothers are better off wherever they are. So you are looking at the gap between your prophecy and what you are manifesting. If you have answered the question, Father, did you send me here? And the Lord says, yes, then go with me on this journey. This is where your delight starts. And I'm just going to be mentioning a few things that I think we should be delighted on. Hallelujah. Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 3 talks about the experience. That's verse 21. Kemi, you know I love you, right? When all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also was baptized. And while he prayed, the heaven was opened. Like the heaven has been opened upon many of us. And the Holy Spirit descended in bodily form like a dove upon him. And a voice came from heaven which said, you are my beloved son. In you I am well pleased. And you can imagine all of that, the dove descending, the voice, the heavens opening, all of those encounters in just one day and within just a few minutes. The heavens opened, the dove descended, the voice came out, everybody could hear it, the word of assurance, and you expect that Jesus just leaves that place and begins to touch people and say, be healed. He begins to touch people and say, cast you out, devil. You know, he begins to manifest, right? And that's where most of us are. We've had the word, we've had the prophecy, and then we're thinking, why am I not still manifesting? God has said he's blessing me with the gift of healings. How come I pray upon myself, my headache, and it still continues until I use paracetamol? So I jump to chapter 4 and verse 1. Chapter 4, same Luke chapter 4, verse 1. Then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Number one, you have to be delighted in being led. You're taking over a mountain. You must submit yourself to the one who sees the mountain from the top. You must delight in being led. Pastor was leading prayers on Friday and he said something about not taking over, not being a point of influence, coming to a point where you realize that you are not a point of influence just because you are smart, but by the leadings of the Holy Spirit. Jesus was led. And you know where he was led into? He was led into the wilderness. Where the Lord is leading you to does not stop your delight in being led. Hallelujah. You must delight in being led. Bible says in the book of Romans chapter 8, that they that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Kingdom inheritance is not passed on to slaves. It's passed on to the heirs of the kingdom. It's passed on to the children, the sons of the kingdom. No matter how much the queen loves me, I cannot be the next queen after prince. No, really. Even if I give her a prophecy and I say, you, that kingdomship is passed on to the lineage. And your maturity to handle kingdom affairs reflects in how led you are by the Spirit of God. How do you allow God to lead you? God woke a man, a full-grown man, up one morning and he says, come, I want to show you a land that the man had never been to before, Abraham. And Abraham got up, packed everything he owns in his life and followed God. That is being led. It is not, and I know that, you know, some of times when you want to venture into a particular profession or business, you like to listen to motivational speakers. You like to listen to those who have been there. Logic, I agree with you. But your primary source of direction must be God. Motivational speakers. I saw one quote yesterday. No, not even a quote. They drew a picture and said, somebody was trying to motivate us in a WhatsApp group. And then he said, some time ago, an artist was told to depict the picture of happiness, and the picture he gave You know, that thing took time to load. So I was reading the story behind. And the picture he gave was this picture, and he was trying to motivate us. And when the picture eventually loaded, I saw a man with his wife on the bed, same bed with six children, their dog and a cat. The bed was broken. And then he said, "This is real happiness, that you are content with what you have." The gang are our motivational speakers. Your source of direction in climbing the mountain, your source of direction in taking over the mountain, must come only from God. You must delight in being led. Don't follow grudgingly. That's why he said you must be delighted. There is a posture. If you follow grudgingly, you will still go up, but you will struggle. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So logic, rational thinking, motivational speech, as good as they sound, and they are nice, sometimes they get you out of your bed in the morning, they will not lead you. Hop this mountain. They will help you to operate. But like I said, the purpose of God for us is not to operate on the mountain. It is to take over the mountain. If you really want to take over the mountain and contend with every other force that is fighting for that mountain, you have to look at him who is the prince of all principalities. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you want to be led, you can't be led without being on your knees. The closer your knees are to the ground, the farther you will go on this journey. A prayerful life. I don't even need to overemphasize that. We are a praying church, so we all know. Because in being led, you must hear God. In being led, you must hear God. You must know when God is speaking to you without even talking. You must be able to tell. You must be able to know. You have that witness within you. Hallelujah. In being led, there's an urgent decision that needs to be made. You must be able to tell without having 5 minutes to think. Oh, I'm not sure. Maybe you've not been in such situations where you just need to say yes or no. Just say yes or no. Yes, let's quickly move on. And then you are looking for a pastor's number. It is that day that pastor's number will be switched off. It is that day that Nine Mobile will block your line. They've blocked our lines, only God knows. And we don't even know where their office is. Hallelujah. Delight in being led. 2. I said earlier, when the Lord takes you on this journey, the Lord strips you of every weight that can hold you back from gaining ground on the mountain. And I look at the story of Ezekiel, for instance. You know, it's very easy how many of us jump into Ezekiel chapter 37. Have you read from Ezekiel chapter 1? So Ezekiel chapter 1, the beginning of chapter 1, Ezekiel too had an experience. The heavens was opened. The voice of the Lord came. The word of the Lord came to him. And the Lord spoke to him. And it was very, if you study it, you will want to be Ezekiel. But many of us just study that first part of chapter 1. Then we jump into chapter 37, where Ezekiel stood and was saying, "Dry bones, begin to come back to life." And the bones were coming. And even some of us, we have the cracking sound already in our heads. If you study the journey of Ezekiel, when Ezekiel got to chapter 37 and God said, "Son of man, will these bones live?" The journey from chapter 1 was what made Ezekiel say, "Well, at these joints, I don't even know. I'm tired." Do what you want to do. Only you knows. But if you don't see that process, you just see chapter 37 and you're like, "God, fire me up. Oh, bring me to that valley of dry bones. Put your words in my mouth like Ezekiel." And I begin to manifest. Hallelujah. At a point, God told Ezekiel, "You will bake bread with human dung." Ezekiel had to beg, "Baba, this one is too much now." God said, "Okay, I reduce it to cow dung." Ezekiel fasted at a particular point for 360 something days. And then God will tell him, "Lie only on one part." And as you lie on that part, you are eating like that. And God even gave him portions. It's not today that portioning of food started. God even gave him portions of water. Because your journey requires a strict level of discipline. That if I don't imbibe in you now, you will fail. See, the weight of your assignment has a lot and tells and has a great impact on the intensity of your process. So stop comparing yourself to another person. You can't compare Ezekiel with Abraham. Two distinct journeys, same agenda. God told Abraham, from you I will raise seeds. I will raise the nations. I will raise seeds. God told Ezekiel, oh yeah, you will call out an army from dry bones. It is still raising seed. It is still raising, it is still this kingdom agenda. So stop comparing yourself with another person that is sitting beside you. Focus on your process. We have sorted that this path that you are on is as assigned by God. Take delight in your process. Don't skip class. There's a curriculum for you. Don't skip class. Because when you skip class, you will repeat that class. Oh, Samson skipped class a number of times. And he kept repeating. He was at the last point where they were going to kill him. He came to realization. And there God had mercy. Moses thought he had matured and he was ready for graduation. God said, see, Moses, there's still anger that I need to prune from you. Because this assignment where you will lead nations will not be powered by anger. Anger is not of me. This assignment has to be powered by humility. Because you will see strange things. Imagine if Moses was not pruned of anger. That is a stick that was turning to snake. If you misbehave, you just... God was going to be depositing a lot in Moses, and he was not going to allow Moses to abuse it. So he said, no, you have not graduated. You think you can take over now? Not yet. Follow me. Let's go to the wilderness. You need to live the way these people have lived for you to understand this assignment. So God took him on a journey, and that was where his own process started. Look at the story of Joseph. It's not easy to be the prime minister of Egypt. Like I said, God had to prune Joseph of unforgiveness amidst other things. Daniel ate vegetables for 3 years. People were tearing chicken beside him, tearing turkey. Turkey, that's how we call it, so that you feel it. When you call it turkey, it's not, doesn't sound delicious. When you call it turkey, Otolotolo. Yeah, you got it. But Daniel had to stay on vegetables for 3 years. Enjoy your process. Be delighted in your process. One thing you can be sure of is that in your process, God will keep assuring you of his presence. Because he kept telling Joshua, I am with you, fear not. I am here with you. Just be looking at my face. Keep gazing. And that was the same thing with Joseph. We kept seeing in the scriptures, and the Lord was with Joseph. And Joseph was in prison, and the Lord was. There was a constant in your process. That constant is his presence. The day you wake up and you cannot find his presence anymore, that is the day you should begin to get scared. Delight in your process. Delight in your process. I know it can be a whole lot. The course you are taking, for some people, is just diploma, 2 years. Yours, it may be law, that when you finish, you still go to law school before you go to NYC. For some people, it's medicine. They stay long after they keep writing exams. I was ready for an exam, and my son said, Mommy, when are you going to stop writing exams? And I said, you keep reading. I didn't know my daughter was listening. And she just kept on saying, keep reading. So this one that we're doing will not even end. Oh, God. Oh, my goodness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Be delighted in your process. Some of the anchors that you need while in your process. Number one, patience. You need to be patient. I know sometimes it feels like it's a whole lot, but you have to be patient. You need to know that God is mindful of you and His presence is there with you. The token of His presence is another anchor you need for your process. You need to rest. Find a place of rest in God. A place of rest that is powered by absolute trust in Him. Rest in Him. He has assigned you there. You know, Pastor was talking this morning. God is good. God is good. Like I said, Pastor preached everything already. You know, God, Pastor was talking this morning and he said, your new job has already been provided for. He says every resource you need has already been provided for. When God sent you, He already made provision for everything. He already made the provision. I was telling him some weeks ago, I said, you know, as grown as I think I am, rejection mails still actually get at me. I got a rejection mail, and you know, so that day we were in church, it was a Tuesday, and the service was very powerful. And as we ended the service, I just brought out my phone and I saw a rejection mail. I said, you are not even in the spirit to know when to send this kind of mail. At least not now. You cannot bring down my joy. And my pastor was just looking at me and I said, you didn't even say anything. You can't even feel my pain. Then he said, how has God been lifting you before now? Why are you suddenly looking for a new method? Just go back to how He has been doing it and key into that particular trend. If God has placed you on a mountain, there is a pattern that He will establish with you. Rest in that pattern. When it is time for the next move, that pattern will automatically open up again. Be delighted in your process. Hallelujah. And I know for so many of us, you feel discouraged. You feel, there's been a whole lot. I've gone through a lot. I pray that the message of the Lord will find us, because some of us have actually pulled out of where God has placed us. You pulled out. You took the shortcut. Because you feel God has probably forgotten you. He says, even if a mother forgets her sucking child, I cannot forget you. I cannot. You are imprinted on the palms of my hand. So every morning when God needs to wash His face, He sees me first. When God needs to eat, if He eats, He sees me first. Because I am right at the center of His palm. Hallelujah. So I want you all to come to the place of rest this morning. I want you to come to a point where you embrace your calling, where you embrace your assignment, where you embrace kingdom agenda, where you embrace that little portion that the Lord has given unto you. And you are determined for the influence of that. You are determined to see the influence of God spread in that very little area. I want you to come to a point where you are telling yourself, Lord, I'm coming back. I'm coming back to that place where you have positioned me. I refuse to be distracted. I refuse to be discouraged. Rise to your feet. I refuse to be discouraged. I refuse to be distracted. I'm coming back to that point where you have called me and you have assigned me to be. Lord, if you have used other men, you can use me again. Lord, you can use me too. Lord, I yield to you this morning. I yield to the process. I yield to you this morning. I take delight in my process. I take delight in kingdom agenda. I take delight in running the course for the kingdom. Somebody may want to say, Lord, have mercy. In every way that I have fallen short, Lord, have mercy. In every way that I've abandoned my post, Lord, have mercy. In every way that I've left the point of my calling, Lord, have mercy. 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 I remember the story of a woman in the Bible called Naomi. I'm sure she must have received the prophecy that told her, look, you are going to be one of the people who will bring forth the King of Glory. You will be in the scheme of things. You will midwife the delivery of the King of Glory. You will be in the line, in the chain of things. And she probably positioned herself. But at a point, the issues of life got at her. The issues of life got at her. They became hungry. There was famine in the land. And she had to leave. They moved to another country. They moved to another place to stay. But she got there. She lost her husband. She lost her two sons. And she got to a point where she told herself, now it is finished. If God had designed me to be in the scheme of things, in the delivery of the Savior, now there is no way out. No husband, no children. I am back to zero. So I don't know what action you might have taken before now that makes you feel you are at the point where God has given up on me. Oh, I can no longer fit into kingdom agenda. I can no longer fit into this purpose again. You are at that point where you are telling yourself it's over. And this woman said it's over. But you know what? She made a decision that day. She said, I will now go back. I will go back. I will go back. Ruth chapter 1. She said, I will go back. I will go back. I will go back. I'm going back to the point of my encounter. I'm going back to the points where the Lord spoke to me. I'm going back to the points where the prophecy came to me. I'm going back to that point where I got the vision. I am going back to my point of connection with God. I am going back to that place where the Lord called me. I am going back to that place where the Lord has spoken to me. I'm going back to my point of encounter with God. And as she made that decision, the Lord listened to her. And I must tell you that Ruth was God's answer to Naomi's prayer of mercy. The Lord gave her Ruth. You think everything is done. You think you think it's over. You think you no longer fit into the scheme of things. But God is saying there's a window of mercy. There is a route that God is assigning to someone this morning. There is a route that God is assigning her to keep you back in track. To keep you back in track. Lekatabo shakatabali kataya. I want you to pray for strength to walk circumspectly. Pray for strength to walk carefully. Pray for strength to be able to operate with care. Pray for strength to walk circumspectly. You know, I told you earlier, I said the devil does not have the details. But as you begin to transform, as you begin to metamorphosize, he begins to put one and one together. And then he begins to present to you shortcuts. He begins to present to you temptations for shortcuts. He begins to present to you temptations that will help you cut corners. But you're saying, Father, I receive strength. Stay in power. I receive strength. You need strength against the temptation of shortcuts, against the temptation that makes you show off when it's not yet time. I receive grace and I receive strength, not to yield to the temptations of shortcuts. Lord, help me. I receive grace to stay through my process. I receive grace to tarry through my process. I embrace my calling. I wear my assignment as a badge. I I refuse to be discouraged. I refuse to be discouraged. E katabala kadaba shakata. E kadaba sukata balike deboza. E balike debozuka tambala kadaya.